Welcome to Car Free Conversation. This is a podcast where we talk about making the most of St. Pete without the use of a car. My name is Domenico.
I'm Sumitra.
And today we have Kristen Ehrlich with us. She is one of the newest members of the Car Free St. Pete Committee. Welcome, Kristen. Hi.
Hi.
We're going to talk about you, and we're going to talk about Car Free St. Pete. Before we do that, we have a little trivia round to sort of break the ice. It is a Lakewood Estate trivia, which is where you're from. You live in the Lakewood Estate neighborhood.
Yes. I don't know that I know facts about it, but I will.
A lot of people don't know, about the history of their own neighborhood, so this will be fun, I think. Sumitra, you want to get us started?
Sure. So these are the kind of trivia questions. Some of them have options. So if you want to know the options for the answers, please let us know and we'll give you options. This is the first one. When was the first golf tournament held at the Lakewood Country Club, which is now known as the St. Petersburg Country Club?
Okay, I have no clue. So I guess options so that I have a chance.
1930, 1927, 1940, and 1945.
1927?
Yes, you're correct.
All right. There we go.
Also, the tournament is the second largest running amateur tournament in the United States.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
It's actually the longest running amateur tournament.
That's amazing.
That is very impressive. Yeah. All right. According to local legends, how did the founders of St. Pete decide on a name for the city?
Oh, I really have no clue. Are there options for this one as well?
Yeah. Okay. So, was it a public debate, a coin toss, or a poker tournament?
Oh, I'm going to guess it's definitely one of the more gambling ones, just kind of knowing St. Pete. I'm going to say a coin toss. We'll go the coin toss.
It was a coin toss. Yeah, it was a coin toss between John Williams and Peter Demon. One of them wanted to name it, I think, Detroit.
Yes.
Or Detroit.
That's hilarious.
And the other guy wanted to name it after the city in Russia.
St. Petersburg, yeah.
Yeah, that's too funny. I'm not surprised. I feel like all the settlers in Florida were like just down here having a good time, gambling on things.
Probably very.
And also, that's why the building on Central and Second is called Detroit, because it was like one of the first like buildings that were built in the city after founding it, I think.
Oh, that's really cool.
Next one. When was the Lakewood Country Club renamed St. Petersburg Country Club?
I need options again. There's a lot of country club items on here.
1996, 2000, 2006, or is it 2007?
2006?
Nope, it was 2000.
2000, okay. Well, same span of a century.
Yeah. You're just a few years off, that's all. Yeah.
This next question is one of my favorite facts about St. Pete. The question is, what are the most consecutive days of sunshine St. Pete, Florida has ever had? Was it 367 days, 384 days, 562 days, or 768 days?
So consecutive sunshine, so it can be greater than a year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's always raining, so it's hard for me to imagine it. So I don't know, the 500 one, maybe?
It was 768 days of consecutive sunshine. So the sun
Wow.
shined at least once every day between those 2 years, 1967 and
Crazy.
1980. So
That's
3 years.
insane.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy. Yeah, that is
Yeah.
awesome.
Next one is really simple. What animal is featured on St. Petersburg city flag?
Oh, it's, I mean, it's a pelican? A pelican.
Yeah, if you got this one wrong, we would have kicked
Okay. I mean,
It would have been over.
large bird.
It's a large bird. Oh, it's a good large bird. What is the last time a hurricane struck St. Pete directly? What was the year? I'll give you options. I know you like options. Is it 1946, 1966, 1986, or 2006?
Directly hit it.
Yeah, directly.
I thought the
Directly.
last one was like a long time ago that it got a direct hit in like the 40s. That's why I'm gonna go the 40s option.
You're right. It was 1940. Yep.
Yes, the burial grounds keep us safe allegedly. So from direct hit, you guys will see how true that is.
Next one is kind of really fascinating as well. There is this one fantastical thing you can find in St. Pete. Is it a Holy Grail? Is it the Lost City of Gold? Is it the Atlantis, or is it the Fountain of Youth?
I'm gonna guess the Fountain of Youth.
Yeah, you're correct.
I
It's just
thought
south
so.
of, like USF, right?
Oh, that's so
That
cool. I didn't go there. I didn't know there was. I just figured, just guessing on who settled here and what they were looking for, that there might be a Fountain of Youth here.
you can drink from the water fountain.
Yeah, I guess that's the good St. Pete water. It's not too bad.
I think your lawyer training of deducing is coming in very handy in this now.
What major sports teams are based in St. Pete? There's two.
Sorry, say it one more time.
What major sports teams are based in St. Pete, Florida?
Oh, the Rowdies and the Braves. The answer,
This is a really fascinating question that I did not know the answer for before we did this. We kind
Yeah.
of looked for this. What year did St. Petersburg elect its first female mayor? The
Oh.
options are 1957, 1977, 1997, or 2017.
97, I'm gonna guess.
No, it was 77,
77.
and her name is
Awesome.
Corrine Freeman. Yeah, I
Isn't
had no idea.
that pretty wild? I think that's amazing that we had a female mayor fairly early on, right? Like,
Yeah,
yeah,
that's pretty
that
awesome.
is.
All right, last question. St. Pete is home to the world's largest blank. Is
Oh
it
no.
the largest shuffleboard club, the largest golf course, or the largest outdoor skate park?
I'm gonna guess shuffleboard. I just feel like that's the St. Pete answer.
It is. It was the shuffleboard court. The
Is.
shuffleboard club is the world's largest shuffleboard club. And it was, you want to guess when it was founded?
Oh, I have no clue. It's pretty old, though, I feel like.
It founded in 1924, which makes it also the oldest shuffleboard club in the world as well.
Oh, that's so cool. It's such
Yeah.
like a cool spot, like whenever you see it, just kind of, I don't go shuffleboarding, but whenever I drive by it, I always think how cool it looks.
And those of you listening that haven't been to the shuffleboard court, I believe Friday night they open it to the public. It's like $5 to get in, BYOB, and it's such a good time. They play music, and everybody's having just a great time. I highly recommend it. It's such a fun thing to do on a Friday night. Even if you don't know how to play, there's people that will show you how to play. Just don't walk barefoot. I saw somebody walking barefoot, and you have to be careful because the way they make the court slick is, and I don't know who came up with this idea in the 20s. It sounds terribly dangerous, but they sprinkle shards of small shards of like broken glass on the onto the court.
Oh. Oh
So just don't take off your flip flops if you're gonna wear
God.
flip flops.
Why would you take off your flops in a public place to
I don't know.
begin with?
The kids these days. I don't know.
You haven't been in Florida long enough. You haven't seen inappropriate bare feet in real life.
I mean, I can understand on the beach, like not anywhere else.
I see people walking in barefoot downtown sometimes.
What?
Yeah, you haven't?
No.
Gotta pay attention. Look down. Because
Yeah.
I see people, there's a guy that walks his dog in my through my neighborhood barefoot, and I've seen people downtown too walk barefoot. I mean, I wouldn't, but to each their own. To each their own.
That's gross and
Hot
dangerous.
take from Sumitra. Walking barefoot downtown.
I...
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Car Free Conversations on Radio St. Pete, Sunshine 96.7. We are here with Kristen Ehrlich, who is the newest member of, one of the newest members of the Car Free St. Pete committee. And we're going to talk about Car Free St. Pete and what brought you to Car Free St. Pete, what you care about, and a little bit about your background. Kristen, what made you apply to be on the committee? What prompted you to start this journey with us?
Well, I'd already started getting involved in the car-free community, well, in a biking and pedestrian-focused community. And I went to a few car-free St. Pete events that the city also was co-sponsoring and sort of learned about it from there, as well as the mayor's bike and pedestrian meetings, the advisory committee. And so I sort of heard about the organization. I didn't really know what you all were doing. And then I got on your mailing list and saw what you were sending out. And because I've just already been interested in the topic, it just seemed like you're really the one group in town that is sort of pushing and acknowledging certain things going on in the city that are more towards a lifestyle where you can be car free, other options of getting around and supporting the bus, supporting biking, supporting pedestrians, but also in a way you're supporting safe car driving because really we all want to be on the road safe together. I really don't know any one that drives that when they see a bike, like who has to share the lane with them, they're feeling super great. And so I think that, a car free, what you're proposing and, your initiatives is really to allow all of us to kind of be together, get around together safely and kind of drive down, that anxiety of getting around that everyone has when we're just kind of all forced to badly share one space. And so kind of appealed to me the ideas that you were pushing forward and some of the work that you've already done. So I thought, why not get involved and give my perspective? I'm on the South Side and, we're have our own community needs and we need really the options, maybe more than some other communities because of the lack of cars and quite a few of the South Side neighborhoods are really, really high. And so people need a safe way to get around. And so your organization is thinking about that and really thinking about the needs of those types of people. And so it just made me want to get involved and do what I could.
Our organization, not the
Yeah.
you're included in this now. You have to say
Yes.
our
Our organization. Well, at the time
organization.
I was applying, it was your organization. So.
Right. Kristen, you're a lawyer. And how does your law education and law practice help your presence on the committee? And like, how have you thought about, being involved in like the civic responsibilities regarding the committee?
we were sort of talking about this offline earlier, and I think that one of the things that is super powerful about being a lawyer, also I was a political science major, is that I am probably a little bit more aware of the democratic process and how you can get involved. And I had worked at a law firm where we were highly encouraged to be involved in the community and go on committees and do panels and kind of give back to the people who were around us, even if they weren't a client of ours. And so I sort of already knew that I could go look for things. Like the first avenue I went to look for when I wanted to get more involved in biking was the mayor's bicycle and pedestrian committee, which has a meeting every month that is open to the public. And I applied and I was rejected from being on their committee, which was a really good thing for me to experience because, you know, you just think that if you show up and you're there and you're worthy, you'll get the opportunity, but that's not how things work. And so I started showing up as a private person and getting more and more involved. And now I am the St. Pete representative for Pinellas's BPAC. And then I regularly attend the mayor's meetings, got involved as a committee member of your organization. But it sort of all snowballs. I think that regular people don't really realize that they can be important in this process, that their voice matters. I think also a lot of them, to be honest, don't have the ability and time to show up because these meetings are a few hours long. They're during a work day. You have to get there. You know, it's not always super simple. But I think that if you really care about something, you should go and show up at the meeting. Come prepared, have a little piece of paper or make a PowerPoint slide. That's what I did because I don't go anywhere without a PowerPoint slide. Bring up a topic. And I took photos of the things I was talking about so people could see and I handed them out. And, you know, that's really, you know, some skills I've learned as a lawyer or just as a type A person to show up to meetings like that. But I think that if you sort of know that you can be part of the process, you know, it doesn't take the legal degree to be important in these type of things. But I think it gave me the tools to know how things work that I, you know, could matter in this process. But all of us really do. And I really highly encourage, there are open board seats on Forward Pinellas's BPAC, and I believe maybe even the mayor's BPAC for the city of St. Petersburg. And so if you feel like you want to be a part of it, go on the website, learn what it takes to apply, learn, you know, you might have to show up at a meeting first. Like you can be an important person in these processes and your voice does matter.
Thank you. Yeah. And Kristen, for those of us who are listening to us who may not know what BPAC is, can you explain what a BPAC committee is?
So the mayor's Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee is an organization. I'm not on that committee, but I do go to the monthly meetings, and it is a meeting at City Hall that is once a month. And basically, these people from various neighborhoods in St. Pete give advice that will go to the mayor, involved with city in planning. Basically, it's mostly bike and pedestrian focused. It does talk a little bit about, you know, things like buses, but also talks about like those e-bikes that you see everywhere. Where do they go? This is where the advice happens and then what the city should push for. And then there's an organization that was created. It's called Forward Pinellas. It's created by state law, and basically everyone has, different counties have these organizations, and ours has the main committee, and then they have a bicycle and pedestrian advisory committee, and that is what I am on. And I basically show up at a meeting, you apply to be a part of it, and if they have seats and you feel like a good fit, you know, you can be on them. It is a heavy commitment. It's in Clearwater, so it's pretty far. But what they do is, for Pinellas, it has an objective for a program called Complete Streets, which is out of Portland. It's basically that in a city, it's important to designate certain streets that are important enough as an access point to entry for people to get around that we should consider planning for them for all modes of transport, which means your car, your bike, your walking ability. And like, let's take these streets and make them a safe place where we are thinking about the complete picture. Because basically what happened is most of transit that has been planned, particularly in a place like Florida, has all been car focused, how to get cars faster somewhere. And it's really not been focused on, well, how do we get all people to be able to move in all modes and what's safe for everybody. And certain things we care about more now, like green space, walkability, like we want things, shade coverage from trees, the lighting, security, all of those things that these Complete Streets programs are part of. And that's a big part of what Forward Pinellas does, is they help designate and get funding for those type of projects. And the BPAC Advisory Committee, we talk about and advise the main committee of what our suggestions are and items that may be of interest.
Thank you for explaining that so well. you know, because like, you know, a lot of people, we throw around like the acronyms usually, and then a lot of people just don't know what do we mean by them, or like what is the actual work that happens in those committees. So like, thank you for explaining that so well to our listeners who may not know what we mean by BPAC.
I highly suggest going, if you're interested in like St. Pete as a whole of their biking, is to go to, you can go on the city's page of their website and you can find some plans, but to go to Forward Pinellas and look at what they have, their plans. These plans take years to do, and you can read through and get the knowledge there, and so you're not behind when they end up ripping the road outside of your house up and you're like, well, what did they just build? You know, it is overwhelming of a process, but I definitely think if you can, you know, at least kind of keep an eye on what they're doing, then, you know, it might be very helpful for you to get the planning you want in place.
I think that's a good message, right, that you sort of laid out there, that you know, your background in law sort of prompted you to get involved, but anybody can. You know, you don't have to be a lawyer or, you know, a doctor or have some, you know, special title or education even to get involved. Unfortunately, there's like a knowledge barrier. You just have to know that you can do that, and you have to, you know, read up and find out where you can get involved. But anybody can. And I would like to add that I just checked the St. Pete website, and there are currently two vacancies on mm-hmm. the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Board. So if you just Google St. Pete BPAC, you'll find it, and you know, you can read through what they do if you want to learn more, and you can apply. Like Kristen said, anybody can be on the BPAC, and that's the point, right? Is that you want as many diverse people to voice their opinion so the city knows what to do.
And I will just give a credit where credit is due, is I do think the city is listening. I really do. If you come to these meetings and you know, are thoughtful in what you're bringing to the table, I really do feel like the city is open to listen right now at this point. So I think that like your voice does matter.
I want to ask, in your opinion, what do you feel are some of the key benefits of promoting a car-free lifestyle in an urban area like?
So I've lived a bunch of places. I've lived very rurally, and I lived in cities. I've kind of lived all over, and I've lived in St. Pete on and off for quite a long time. And so I've lived car-free. I lived in Boston. I did not have a car. I commuted on the T. I biked around. I walked around. I walked through blizzards, bus as well. All of those things, shopped, did all of my everything I could imagine. And it was great. Honestly, when you have the support system to be able to have the options to live without a car, it's really powerful. Do I know a ton of people who maybe have one car that they kept to do certain adventures or certain things that they just couldn't do realistically without a car? Absolutely. And so for me, I think I'm on the ability to be car free is what I really am, you know, think is important. I think people are very, in Florida particularly, very tied to their identity with their car. Like when you get your license, when you get your first car, that it is a huge identity driven thing. And so I think that we need to work on kind of rethinking that, is like, why is a car so important to us? Are there other ways we could get around that would be less stressful and more beneficial to us? Because, you know, it's actually nice to be on public transit and be able to do some work and not have to worry about someone cutting you off or paying attention to, you know, everything going on, or to be outside and get to bike and have extra exercise or just sun time out. They're great things to have opportunities, not worrying about parking the same way that you would with a car. Those are all really great things that a ability to be car free offers you that you don't have if you don't have that kind of infrastructure, because no one wants to bike on a scary road or walk around on a scary road. They want to be in their car. But here's the real truth is that cars are expensive. If we just even get out of the pollution and all of those things, cars are very expensive to have right now, particularly in the state of Florida. Insurance is extremely high. We are dealing with higher car prices to buy them than ever. And so imagine just being able to take away that financial stress, not even the stress of driving, just, relieve yourself of having to pay $300, $600 out a month in car payments or insurance, that you could just have that to yourself, and just some more breathing room is really what I think a city like St. Petersburg that has now become expensive to live in, that is doing a lot of development. I think that if we're an expensive city, we need to have options to cut costs in other ways, and the city should support that. And I think having an infrastructure there to be car-free is really important to accomplish that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think, as I live between St. Pete and Chicago, and so my partner and I have one car that we share that's in St. Pete because we need it there most. And whenever we are in Chicago, we just use the public transport as much as we can. Even like to go see our family members who are like 25, 30 miles away from the city. We just get on the commuter train to go to their places. And it's been so wonderful that I have just started reading more because I have that time on my commute to read, as opposed to having to like take time out of my day to actually read, which is what I used to do in St. Pete because I was driving everywhere.
Yeah, I don't know anyone that really enjoys sitting in their car in a commute. Like, I just don't know that. And I think they in Boston, just the traffic was so bad that no one, if they have an option, is going to choose that. I mean, I think it took me an hour to commute 6 miles. And I could see my work from my house because it was the tallest building and I was on a hill. And so, who wants to do that when you can just sit on for basically the same amount of time or even less time, sit on public transit? And I think it just offers so many options. I think people want public transit and want to be able to bike and walk, but I think that they're afraid of what happens if we spend money on something and they don't get what they want out of it. When it's not done fully right, it's almost like kind of worse for everybody because it chills the wanting to spend more on it. But I think, someone who goes and visits a Chicago or Boston or New York City or Europe or wherever that has better infrastructure, they're all like, oh, well, I would do it there. Like, it would be great there. Well, let's make it great here. Why can't it be great here? We live in such a great place. I don't see why not.
And there are
Yeah.
so many opportunities.
Sorry, go ahead, Phil, again.
I was just going to say there are so many opportunities for us to like get things right because like we have like we just like through Sunrunner and through other modes we just have so much ability to do things right because we don't have that kind of aging infrastructure that other cities may have. So yeah, we just have so many opportunities that I'm really looking forward to like what we can do with what we have.
And I was going to say, we don't have the severely cold weather that something like New York, Chicago have. It's sometimes painful to take transit because I was working in Boston and New York for a time too, and like, sometimes it was like, negative something, like -5 degrees. Not fun walking in -5 degree weather, but here we have pretty mild weather all year round. And so it's kind of nice to be outside here.
We do have limitations. We have heat and we have rain, right? And so, but what are practical ways to work around those? Like, should we add more tree coverage, put back more oaks, put back more of that kind of stuff? Like, and then obviously it's more beautiful as well. Like, we get this like beauty and things come back to kind of sterile cityscapes. And so I think that there are ways that we can accomplish, like working around our unique problems in the South. You know, we don't have the cold, but, you know, who wants to be out there in a hurricane, non-hurricane hurricane weather? You know, no one does. And so what, how do we do manage those kind of things? And they're unique challenges, but I think, you know, we live at like a really unique time in the world. And I think that we can solve those intelligently and thoughtfully.
Absolutely. Switching gears a little bit, you live in Lakewood Estates, and the Lakewood Estates Civic Association is doing a 31st Street South cleanup event. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so actually this is kind of how I really started getting involved locally in St. Pete. Was there on the city map, there was a trail marked on 31st Street South near the 31st Street South Sports Complex, which is like around 54th Avenue South up to like 24th or 26th or something. And so I had seen that was marked as a trail, and I was kind of confused because every other trail had like trail lines and then a sign said trail. And then, you know, there weren't signs that said bike on the road or share the road and all this kind of stuff. And so I basically prepared my little PowerPoint of photos of what this looked like versus what some other trails look like around where I live, and brought it to their attention. And it turned out that it was mismarked. And so someone in the past, and that it wasn't really a trail, and they've updated that on the new maps. And it sort of spurred my whole interest in this street because it's almost 2 miles of roadway, and about a mile and a half of that, there's no crosswalks. There's no way to really get on that sidewalk. It's a wider sidewalk. And people really do not want to bike on 31st Street South, pretty much from Pinellas Point up until maybe, you know, there's some infrastructure a little further up, particularly near Gibbs is nice, where you can get on the Pinellas Trail. So it sort of started my interest in 31st Street South, and 31st Street South, after some great work that the city has done, is now on complete streets. So that initiative just happened this year, really from involvement, you know, from the community. And so our 31st Street South cleanup is sort of to get people out to show that this street is an important street. I mean, I really hope the city considers making it an official trail and doing some infrastructure work so people can bike safely from Pinellas Point all the way up to First Avenue North is on complete streets. So imagine if you could bike safely on the only straight road that runs on that side of I-75, of 275. You know, it would be really influential. There's a lot of neighborhoods with really no people relying on other transport besides cars. People don't have cars in those neighborhoods. So this allows people to get to districts like the Marina District, to downtown. This could even allow you to get to the Sunrunner, you know, that so you can go to the beach, or you could bike down to the islands, go to Fort DeSoto, really safely. Honestly, I think it's really a mix of commuter use and as well as enjoyment use. There's just to know, there's also another trail that they're thinking about doing that's on the projects list. That would be a trail that starts on 31st Street South, cuts through the Lakewood Estates golf course, and then kind of ties into another set of sidewalk that wraps around Lake Liguori. So you could have this beautiful recreation, you know, near Boyd Hill, near the Pioneer Settlement, Lake Liguori. You know, we only have so much land here, and one of the biggest preserves is right on this street. And so I think it's really important. And that stretch of sidewalk has been, you know, I would say neglected mostly. They have done some work of cleaning it up a bit, but there's a lot of trash. There's a lot of just issues of cracks and breaks. And there's a lot of things on that street that you wouldn't even know. There's the St. Pete City Theater. There is some sort of assisted living on that street. There's a bunch of like little things that people, I think, ignore that are there because they just drive right by it. And so I think it's an opportunity that can really grow our city in a positive way. So we're hosting a cleanup event on May 4th. If you're a Star Wars fan, to remember it, May the 4th be with you. And so it's going to be at 8 a.m. at the 31st Street South Sports Complex, which is right on that, on 31st Street South, almost on 54th Ave is sort of your cross. And we're going to park there. We're going to have some kind of light food and coffee. We're also going to be giving out bike helmets if anyone needs one. We'll have some grabbers to sort of, you know, help people clean up. And we're going to try to clean that whole stretch. And then it will be sort of an initial phase of really getting the word out that 31st Street South is going to have a study done It is in the planning phase, and so really your community involvement at this point allows it easier to communicate with you later when the study actually goes on to get your input and feedback.
Sounds
Sounds
like a
like
great
a
plan.
plan.
Free helmet, cleaning up. What is this city theater that you mentioned?
Yeah, there's this city theater that's on that street. We might have a food
Yes,
truck there.
it's on the west side of the street.
Yes, exactly. So that's the cleanup side, is the west side. Across the street on that street is also Pioneer Settlement, which has a ton of stuff. They have community garden workshops, they have summer camps for kids, they do like big festivals there. It's like a great space for someone to check out if you're in
And the Pioneer Settlement is it's part of like the Boyd Hill area,
Yes. Yep.
but the access to it is on 31st Street.
I have heard of this.
Absolutely.
It's true. It's true though. Like how many things you miss when just alongside the road because the roads are so fast and you don't think to slow down for
There
miles.
is also a campground, the Terry Tomlin Campground, that is on that north part of the Pioneer Settlement. So that we have like a whole campground that people probably don't know exists, that you could be accessing and have use for in this preserve in our city. And so I just think that, having the ability to kind of walk and bike and really be out there with some shade coverage and more trees, make it prettier, like would be a really great asset to the city as a whole.
This event, it's the Lakewood Estate Civic Association inaugural 31st Street Lakewood Cleanup event.
Yes.
It's May 4th at 8 a.m.
Yes, 8 a.m. till noon.
And where are people meeting again?
The
You mentioned.
31st Street South Sports Complex. So it's 31st Street South, right before you hit 54th Ave South, which is that main road that goes underneath the underpass.
Awesome. Is there a way, is there like a Facebook event that people can find or anything?
There is a Facebook event. I will send it around and maybe I can post it with this video when it goes up. And so that people can have access to it and, respond. The more RSVPs we get, the better, so that I kind of know how much to provide for. But I'm hoping that's a nice little turnout and it gets people out and people talking.
This sounds great. And did you mention that there might be a food truck? Maybe.
There might be a food truck,
There
potentially.
might.
I'm still working on the details. It's a lot to plan an event. I think I'm learning new
Yes.
skills.
I've planned enough events to know that food trucks in particular are hard to get out to these events, so I feel your pain. But it is awesome when you can get them to come, for sure. Well, this has been an awesome segment of Park Street Conversations. Thank you for sitting down with us, Kristen. Welcome to the committee. I'm so happy that you're on the committee. You have so many great ideas. And I think you're the only resident from the Lakewood State on the committee, which is great. We need that diversity. Already, just some of the things that you've said, I didn't even know about that area of St. Pete. And so being able to connect these areas, like you said, is really important to just making it a good place for everyone, I think.
Yes, thank you for coming on, Kristen. It's really nice to meet you online, and welcome to the committee.
Thank you. I appreciate you all having me. And just like I said, if there's anything that you're curious about in our city planning to check out for Pinellas and what's going on, really, I really encourage you all to be involved. And I really think that Car Free St. Pete is doing a great job of like helping people get that access. And your newsletters, if anyone's listening, sign up for the Car Free St. Pete newsletter and blast, because you should know if there's something going on that you can vote on from our city or our community that you're doing it. I mean, I think it's a great opportunity and it's nice to have an organization that's, providing the access to you so you don't have to go search these things and try to find and miss stuff. So I really recommend that and I'm having a great time being part of Car Free St. Pete so far.
Thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Car Free Conversations.
Please follow us on social media. We are Car Free St. Pete on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter.